So kids, if you are filling out a worship note today, or worship thoughts, you can listen for how many times I say test in this sermon, because we're going to be talking a lot about tests. And I know that strikes fear in the heart of some of you. Some people panic at the mere mention of the word test. And so I apologize for that. I just want to let you know you're not going to be tested at the end of this sermon. Mostly, I didn't mind taking tests when I was in school. I liked the adrenaline. I remember a big sense of camaraderie sometimes among my classmates before a big test, especially among my friends in my German class in high school. We would test each other on conjugation and the vocabulary and the conversations we had to memorize. And lots of us had physics together right before our German class, so I found German much more interesting than physics, so we would spend a lot of time in physics kind of preparing for our German tests, and it was kind of fun for us. Well, taking my Greek tests in college, speaking of learning the language of the Bible, was another story. I had some really great classmates there too, but the tests were a lot harder and much fewer in between, so that more of your grade depended on it. I had to study more, and cramming didn't just work quite as well. Well, I was having a really bad week one time when one of my Greek tests fell. I studied, but my brain was preoccupied in other areas. So when I sat down to take the test, it was like I had completely forgotten everything. I panicked. I sweated. I panicked more. What would I even write? I think I maybe remembered like 25% of what I was supposed to. I made up the other 50%, and I left the other 25% blank. So needless to say, the percentage I got on my test was an F. I was devastated. I don't think I had ever failed a test like that. We can do our best to prepare for tests, but sometimes the information just gets knocked right out of us. We can work hard, but sometimes it still isn't enough. I love watching the Olympics. I'm in awe of what some people's bodies can do. From gymnasts flying through the air or across the uneven bars, to the swimmers tearing up the water in record times, to the skiers flying down the mountains at speeds that are literally breakneck. Why do their parents let them do this? It's just incredible to watch, though, isn't it? I love seeing the winners standing on the podium, poised and proud, living their dream come true. And I'm always astonished at how little separates the winners from the losers. A fraction of a second, or a fraction of a point in many cases. To think that one tiny mistake, imperceptible to our eyes, can cause someone to lose is just unbelievable. Well, life can be like that too. We try our best and we work hard and we still may fail. There may be forces against us, whether it's unfair rules or systems that favor one kind of person over another. But just because we fail some of those things doesn't mean that we aren't smart or talented or gifted in other less measured ways. Even Jesus was tested. Right after his baptism, he's led out by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I think it's so fascinating that he's led by the Spirit. He's been baptized by God, and the Holy Spirit has come down and blessed him. And now it's time to put his money where his mouth is. This is where his call gets real, real fast. He stays out there for 40 days and 40 nights. And 40 is a number in the Bible used to tell us that something is significant. It's a significant, important time. The Israelites wandered for 40 years. Jesus was tested 40 days. And Lent is 40 days, not including Sundays. So this means something. The devil, the tempter, comes to Jesus and offers him three things that are easy pitfalls for any of us to want to fall into. He offers him food when he's hungry. He offers a chance to prove himself. and he offers power. Well, Jesus was hungry. He's fasting during this time. Just the mention of bread and the reminder that he has the power to make a stone become food has to have made Jesus' mouth water and his stomach growl. But Jesus passes up the temptation to use his power for his own good, and he keeps his focus on God's word, quoting scripture and saying, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Test passed. Jesus gets an A. The next temptation we have is the chance to prove ourselves, or in this case, the chance to prove God. I bet we've all been faced with that test also, the desire to want to test God, or the feeling that God is testing us, and we're not going to be caught before we crash to the ground, so we should probably make other plans. How many times have you been asked to prove God exists? Or how many times have you wondered yourself? Doubt and faith are just two sides of the same coin. But Jesus again quotes scriptures and reminds the devil and us that testing God is not part of the deal. Trusting God is. And Jesus keeps his trust where it belongs, and he proves that he's ready for the much bigger test to come, the test of the cross. So Jesus passes the second of the devil's tests and earns another A. The last test is power. And maybe the devil saved the best or worst test for the last. Power is so tempting, even for Jesus. He is lifted up as high as he can be by the devil, taken to the top of a very high mountain to look over all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil tells him that if he turns from God to worship him, he will give Jesus all of it. Everything will be his. I bet we've all thought at one time or another, if we could rule the world, things would be better. And I want to share with you a little story my daughter Anna wrote for school about ruling the world. So it's a how-to story. So it's how to create your own world by Anna Borkenhagen. You rule. So it says, introduction, this book will improve your calming down abilities. So get ready to be calm. First thing you need is you need all the parts of your body. You need your brain to rule. You need your eyes to see what's happening. You need your body, and then you have your whole self. So your first step is you put your body together. You put all those parts together. And then you imagine you are the king or queen of your tiny world. Just imagine it in your mind. Then you tell your servants to start building your castle, right? Yes, it's good. We all want to live in a castle. And then your world is set. Yay! Go ahead and rule the world. So it seems pretty great, doesn't it? And we all might imagine what our own kingdom would look like. We could rule. It's easy to be tempted by that thought that we could do things better or different. And I'm sure that was a tempting thought for Jesus because he knew that the world needed help. But Jesus knows better. And he follows through on what he knows. He doesn't let the thought of power overtake him. He keeps his focus on God and quotes scripture a third time, saying, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." These things are part of the commandments, after all. Well, the devil finally sees he's not going to win, and he leaves. This is something else for us to remember, too, that if we keep our focus on God, eventually things will get better. They might not get better right away, but they will get better. They might not be completely destroyed, but we will find a way to make it through them. I shared this quote on Facebook this week. God didn't remove the Red Sea, he opened it. Just because God hasn't removed your problem doesn't mean he won't provide a way through it. In all these temptations, Jesus keeps his focus on God. Doing this is what helps him survive. There will always be temptations for us, but keeping our focus on God keeps our lives going in the right direction. That's why we're encouraging everybody to spend their extra time during Lent, reading the Bible, doing acts of service, worshiping more. And we hope that you will engage in those things. And if you want to discuss the readings on Wednesday nights, I'll be at the dinner and ready to talk about what you've read. Or if you'd like to be in a group, we can arrange that as well. There's a sign-up sheet out in the gathering area for you to sign up if you'd like to have a group of others to discuss what you're reading with. Remember how I told you about failing my Greek test? Well, when I left the class that day that our tests were handed back, my amazing professor stopped me on my way out, and he asked what happened, and I told him that I'd been dealing with some stuff that week, and my mind had just completely gone blank. And he was so understanding and gracious, and he said, if you do well on the final, he would forget this bad grade, and he wouldn't count it at all. I think I cried with relief. And in the end, I got an A. Life is full of tests. Some we pass and some we fail. But whatever our failures are, no matter how big, we always have another chance because of Jesus. We don't need to worry about passing anymore. When we fail, we can pick our heads up and start again, because Jesus already passed the test, and he shares his victory with us. And our grade in the end is always an A.